One of my favorite like sitcom tropes ever was when the parents would go away and the kids would throw a big party and they would have a big time and they would wreck the house. And then the parent would come back and be like, "Hey, what is going on here? What is happening?" I feel like SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is the parent and the AFCA are the kids that just wrecked the house. It's a brand new Village Vice. He's Zach. I'm Brad. So last week, the AFCA puts out this statement, this memo. They say, we would like a 2014 playoff, and we would like conference championship games eliminated. And Greg Sankey isn't happy. Sankey's like, we don't care in the SEC what you want. You don't make the decisions. It's like when your kids say, I want ice cream for breakfast. Cool. Doesn't matter what you want, which is an interesting thing to do. Here's publicly, okay, Greg Sankey yesterday, quote, it's kind of disappointing. I had seen Craig Bohl, who's like head of the AFCA, a couple weeks ago. I know he has my cell phone number. It would have been nice to have had a conversation about the rationale for their statement and maybe the rationale for some of those decisions. That's a fair leadership expectation. Last I knew, the AFCA is not in charge of dealing with the schedule, postseason games, or even regular season games. I mean, the entity, or figuring out where they fit in the calendar. I certainly respect their First Amendment rights, but there's a lot more depth than a press release. So there you go. Thoughts on the SEC commissioner essentially coming out and saying, we don't care in the SEC what you want.
I mean, it definitely lines up with the way Sankey's handled a lot of things, right? Including conference realignment. You know, he definitely publicly, whether it's true or not, and it's probably mostly true. I don't think it's 100% true, but it's probably mostly true. That you know the SEC has, you know, gets to call the shots with a lot of this. I mean, they're the ones who started the whole thing with conference realignment, with saying, all right, Texas and Oklahoma, y'all good? Yeah, let's do this. Let's shake things up because we're ready to shake things up, not because we're reacting to anything. And so the 2014 playoff, like those discussions, now that they're pretty public, I'm sure Greg Sankey was part of those conversations probably years ago at this point.
Yeah.
You know, is he actually mad when some of this stuff happens? Like, I don't know. I definitely think he's done a good job of like playing a role publicly. And I think he's done an outstanding job. One of the best commissioners in sports. But it goes back to the question, like, is this interesting or is it important? I think it's just interesting. I think the conversations they had about this behind closed doors 24 months ago, I think those were important.
All right. And you may be right. I think this is actually an important, I think it's more important than just interesting.
Okay.
And here's why. So the majority of power in the CFP discussions and decisions, rather, not discussions, but actual decisions. Everybody can discuss things, but how many decision makers are there? It's the SEC and the Big Ten. The Big Ten was pretty public early on in saying we would like a 24-team playoff. And now the Coaches Association has come out publicly and said we also would like a 24-team playoff. That posture creates the perception that the SEC is not on the outside looking in, but misaligned. That the SEC wants something, because the SEC has been pretty public. Sankey's been public about wanting a 16-team playoff, but not a 24. Let's keep the SEC championship, you know, pile of loot, and let's do a 16-team playoff. Now that the Big Ten and the coaches are on the 24-team playoff boat, where does that leave the SEC? Do you know what I mean? Like, the perception is that, or I'll ask you, does it seem like the SEC is in a weakened position because they're now the outlier? They're the one that doesn't, they're the they're the one that's getting outvoted by these other two entities, even though the AFCA doesn't actually have a seat at the table. It's the Big Ten and the SEC that have the majority decision-making power. The perception is they're the outlier. Am I off base there?
But hasn't the SEC, throughout all this craziness, last 10 years, maybe a little less, hasn't the SEC always been the outlier with all of this under Sankey's leadership? And I mean that in a good way, right? And I go, yeah. I mean, this is the closest thing to realignment, right? When you're talking about changing, you know, the structure of college football.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we made our moves. We're good. Everybody else is scheming. Everybody else is doing their own thing. But like, no, we're good. We're holding serve.
Yeah.
And so if you know, whatever Greg Sankey and the SEC wants is probably what they'll get.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that don't really feel like they have to play games. When you have all the power,
yeah,
you don't have to play games.
Okay.
You don't have to.
To that point.
Yeah.
And I love that's an awesome point. But for the first time ever, what's the discussion we're having regards to these conferences? Like, for the first time ever, we're talking about the Big Ten having more power than the SEC. The last few national champions, the payout to the schools, SEC still has more draft picks. But in terms of revenue and in terms of trophies, for the first time in a very long time, again, the perception is that that balance of power is starting to shift or has shifted.
It definitely seems like that's happening publicly. So the average Big Ten school is getting more from TV deals than SEC school is right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
This past
I wonder what those numbers look like when you talk about attendance and sale, like merch sales and all of that. I wonder.
Sure.
I would like to know. I'm not stating one way or the other, but I am genuinely curious.
Well, they do have three of the biggest stadiums in the country. Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan are among the biggest. Nebraska's attendance is always high, regardless of how many 5-7, 6-6 seasons they have. Mm-hmm. You know, their attendance is high. So it's very interesting. And if the SEC does decide to play hardball, I think it moves closer to what we hypothesized Friday, which was, does the SEC go, if you guys want a 2014 playoff, you can have your 2014 playoff, but the SEC won't be a part of it.
Man, I think that would be a very bad decision on the part of the commissioner if that were to happen.
Right. So how much leverage does the SEC have?
Yeah.
That's if he's not in a position to do that successfully. You know,
to your point, like, he's probably not in that situation now if everybody else wants it.
Yeah.
But it also, like, I mean, you're talking about the AFCA wanting this. Like, if Sankey is talking to its members, talking to Kirby Smart, talking to Alex Golish, talking to, you know, all these individual coaches.
Yeah.
And they want this. And the AFCA is legitimately, like, speaking on behalf of the voice of the coaches, then I think Sankey's probably doing them a disservice if that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Again, the AFCA does not, they don't really hold up progress. This isn't really anything other than them declaring what they prefer. I just wondered if the optics or if the perception, which is reality so many times, was starting to shift. So they meet again next month. We'll see. We'll see if anything comes from it, or as the article, Chase Goodbread wrote the article for Yahoo, if they kick the can down the road a little further.
And you're pro 2014, correct?
I think it's better for fans. Yeah, I think it's better for teams and for fans. And I thought of another pushback against it, which was, now coaches, of course coaches want it because it preserves their jobs better and it's, you know, more of them get in so we can say we made the playoff. I think we'll just push the bar back. I just think we'll move the goalposts because that's what we always do. It won't be enough just to make it. We do that with the NCAA tournament already. It's like, well, we made the turn. That's what, Texas fired Rick Barnes. He made the tournament every year.
Yeah.
I'm going back 15 years now, but he made the tournament, but that wasn't enough.
I mean, that was the narrative, what, around Calipari at Kentucky. It's like, okay, yeah. Get back there. You know, get back to the, I forgot what their benchmark was, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, maybe. But
yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably true, depending on the program. That's probably true.
Yeah, right. So, all right, speaking of programs and the postseason, I want to talk about Roback, and then I want to talk about an interesting thought regarding Auburn baseball and how it's unlike a lot of other successful programs. At least I think it's unlike.
Okay.
Roback.com. I've got the Roback hoodie on today. That gentleman is much more handsome in his orange Roback hoodie. Roback.com, promo code BARN20 to give you 20% off your entire order. Hundreds of polos to choose from, quarter zips, hoodies, shorts, accessories, including hats, all of it. 20% off when you use promo code BARN20 at Roback.com, Roback.com. You'll look like $1 million. You'll feel like $1 million. You'll spend less than $1 million, I promise. Unless you want to spend $1.2 million on your order and you'll get 20% off, and then you'll spend $1 million.
I mean, what a bargain that would be.
Sure would.
200 grand off?
That's right. Yeah. Straight math. All right. Auburn baseball and its success. Consistent top 10 all year long. Like predicted top 10.
Sure.
May have slipped out of the top 10 for 1 week. Right back in it. Consistent. Most of the guys on this team were recruited out of high school by this staff.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought about that very much until this morning. I was talking to my son about it. And out of the starting rotation, all right, Marciano was a transfer.
Right.
And Hetzler's a transfer.
Right.
The four other primary pitchers, Alvarez, yeah, Petrovic, Sanders, Cormier, all recruited out of high school. Your defensive alignment, Bub Terrell, high school. Bristol Carter transfer, Mason McCrane, high school. Guevara, high school. McCrane, high school. Rembert, high school. Binghamman, high school. Frelick, high school. Most of the guys on this team were recruited by Butch Thompson and Gabe Gross and Carl Nonnemaker and Everett Tiefert out of high school. That has to be an anomaly or an exception to the rule, isn't it? Or am I wrong about that?
I mean, it certainly seems unique for sure in this day and age. Well, I was, I went to Utah last week for a work retreat, and one of our director of talent, he went to Kansas, and he was like, yeah, Kansas baseball is like, surprised a lot of people. You know, they're ranked in the top 10. And he was telling me, like, all nine of their starting lineup are either JUCO guys or transfers.
Yeah.
Like, wow. He's like, that's just the way to do it. And I wish I would have said, like, not at Auburn. That's not the way they're doing it here. Yeah. That's not the way they're doing it here. You know, we've heard this staff and we've heard Butch Thompson really be super loud, vocal, consistent in talking about these last two freshman classes. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, I think, more like messaging on, you know, Auburn baseball's like digital team with graphics and social media about these last two classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw, like, last year's class was a big reason, a massive reason why we hosted a super regional. I mean, all of those guys, they just didn't play like true freshmen. And we're seeing that too with this year's class as well. And, you know, You come in and you play as a freshman. Like, why would you leave? Why would you leave? And, you know, Auburn's done such a good job of keeping people here. I mean, I really can only think of one young stud that they let leave, that they let mm-hmm. get out of here. You know, obviously he went to LSU, but outside of that, like, they've done such a good job with player retention as well.
Yeah. And that guy who was a favorite, he was a fan favorite when he was here, won a championship last year at LSU, isn't playing right now. Because they've gone to a youth movement in Baton Rouge because their season's been a terrible disappointment. So,
yeah,
it's interesting to me, and it's just not something I think we get so used to the transfer rhythm that sometimes if a team is not going that route, we don't really think about it all that much. This team does not, I mean, they've got transfers, clearly. Like, Hetzler's a huge deal. Marciano's a huge deal.
Sure.
Crystal Carter's been a big role player on this team. You know, Eddie Madrigal in the DH position.
Todd Clay.
Logan Gregorio in the DH position. There's a place that there's a place for transfers, and there always will be. But the majority of the guys who are starting and are the most productive, Griffin Graves, who's pitching tonight at Jack State High School.
Mm-hmm. Which Jax is not a state.
No, Jax nor Jacksonville.
Not a state.
No. Did you ever play the game Jax?
No.
Me neither. It's one of those really old people games. I don't know how to tell you how to play Jax.
Wait, where you bounce the ball and you pick them up and you got to catch the ball?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know how to, I don't know how to play Jax. You've played Jax?
Yes.
Okay. Then how do you play?
You bounce the ball and you pick up the Jax.
I'm genuinely curious.
I think that's it.
That's the simplest explanation.
I don't think it's like a super complex thing.
Can you mount it hard so that it bounces up? Can you use both hands to pick up the Jax? No, I guess it's not.
Playing Jax involves scattering 10 metal or plastic Jax on a flat surface, then using one hand to toss a small bouncy ball, pick up the required number of Jax, and catch the ball after one bounce. Players progress through rounds, onesies to tensies is what it says, by collecting increasing numbers of Jax until they win. So I guess you pick up one on the bounce, then you pick up two and three, and then whoever goes the farthest wins, I guess is how you play.
But like, can I take the ball and like atomic spike it so that it's in the air for 40 seconds?
Yeah, you can atomic spike it, but you have to catch it.
Okay, gotcha. So if you don't catch the ball, then it don't matter how many Jacks you pick up.
No, I think you have to bounce it with the same hand you pick up the Jacks, and then you have to catch it.
Okay. All right, I can see that.
There's some dexterity involved in that.
I can understand that. All right. How many times have you played Jax? Did you play this a bunch as a kid?
I think there was like a toy, like they made like a competitive Jax. Like, I think it was called like Battle Jax. And there was a toy where you could get like different pieces and they did different things. I think they did a thing, and like, I think somebody got me that. And so I learned how to play Battle Jax with my friends. Is that what they were called?
So you didn't play regular Jax. You played hyped up on steroids. You played C4 Jax is what you played.
I don't remember what it was called. I Googled Battle Jax, and that's the name of a minor league team. By the way,
I was going to say that'd be a great band name. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Battle Jax.
Yeah, the Battle Creek Battle Jax are a baseball team that plays in Northwoods League and Collegiate Summer League. Interesting. Okay.
So it's all transfer.
Battle Creek Battle Jax? I may have to get that hat. That looks pretty sharp. No, I mean, you reach a point where you're playing Jax.
Yeah.
And just normal Jax isn't enough.
Right.
Yeah. You have to up the ante.
No,
you have to up the stakes when you're playing Jax.
Laura Ingalls Wilder plays regular Jax. Not here. We play Battle Jax. Please tell me that Battle Jax or Souped Up or Steroid Jax or whatever becomes the newest tailgate sensation. Please tell me before Auburn football games, we're going to bring back Jax. Forget cornhole. Cornhole is so back then. I am making fun, but as a kid, like when I would go visit my grandparents in the country, we'd play dominoes, which were in an old like Dutch maker's cigar box.
Yeah.
And then we played with the tops of mason jars. That's what we played with as a kid in the country. So Jax would have probably been thrilling for us.
What made you say this? How did we get on this?
I don't remember. I don't remember at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I can't find, I'm Googling, I can't find the souped up, what I'm calling Battle Jacks. I must not be what they're called, but there was something. I don't know.
Some people played Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Other people's played Battle Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Battleship
Mighty Jacks?
Battleship and Jacks together? I don't know. I really don't. That's sad. It can't have been more than 5 minutes ago that we got on this, and I do not remember what road took us here.
Yeah, I mean, I have no clue.
That's frightening.
Yeah, you asked me if I played Jax, and I'm like, no. And then I'm like, no, I did. Yeah. But they weren't enough for me. And now we're here.
Kind of like, do you ever walk into a room, and you have no reason why you walked in there?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about player retention, roster retention, and what Butch Thompson has done with this team, not really using the portal for starters. You ever played Jax before? What? Oh, Jax State.
There we go.
I said Jax is there in a state. Go. You're like, you ever played Jax?
Yeah, because I said Jax is a game, but it's not a state.
There it is.
The resolution,
right, I think that does it for today's show.
The resolution in my soul that we were able to come back and figure out why.
We found our way back.
I have such peace now that I didn't have.
Yeah, I'm going to have to actually go back and rewatch this to figure out how we stumbled on this. We got there. We don't need to. We don't need to rewatch ourselves.
I couldn't wait to get to that point in the show to figure out how we got there. Yes, so baseball does play at Jacksonville State tonight. I hope all of our Calhoun County friends come out and watch this team today. I love how, did you see that Kentucky canceled a game against Northern Kentucky that was scheduled for tonight?
Is that an RPI play?
Well, let me read the statement from the Kentucky team.
Okay.
This is from the official Kentucky Baseball X account. Statement: our team faced multiple extended delays over the weekend, extensive travel days, and challenging rest and recovery periods. We play a critically important conference series beginning Thursday that demands putting our student athletes in the best position possible.
Can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Oh, come on.
No issue.
Oh, come on.
They can't come out and say, yo, this doesn't make sense for us to play this game.
That's what they should say.
You can't, though. You can't say that. That's what they are saying, Brad. They are saying that.
Then don't say anything. Number one, everybody knows why you can't.
If you want to just not say anything and just say, hey, we've decided to not play tonight's game for various reasons and just leave it, that's fine.
Yeah. Nobody's got a gun to your head. You got to put out a statement on social media. Putting out that statement does nothing but put you squarely in the crosshairs.
We did that a few years ago, didn't we? But like, there actually was kind of weather where we're like,
there was absolutely weather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been weather a couple of times, legitimate weather. I remember going to the Hoover Met 3 years ago for a game against Samford in the same spot. There was a thunderstorm right over the Met. Honest to goodness, it was the only pocket of rain in the entire state. And it just sat there for three hours. No, when Auburn cancels midweek games, it's legitimately for weather reasons.
Sure.
This is just a little soft. I have to say, it's a little soft. Meanwhile, Auburn's going on the road to play a quad one game against a regular season conference champion.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. I didn't know you. I thought you'd respond a little. I thought you'd be with me on that. I thought you'd draft with me on that.
I don't have an issue with doing what you think is best for your program. And if you need to do that for, Kentucky's in, aren't they?
Probably. Now you,
I
probably
mean, if they're on the bubble and there's a chance it can hurt you and it not help you, like,
yeah,
yeah, don't play it. I have no issue with it.
All right. They are 30th in the RPI right now.
Yeah, so they're in. So they're in. So probably, like, and it's not going to hurt. Like, they're in if they lose that too. So it's a little different. Yeah. A little different. Also, not everyone has a million pitchers like we do, and so that does matter as well.
I see. So I should have a little more empathy toward.
Hey, they don't have like five starting pitchers, Brad. Not everybody has five starting pitchers.
Less fortunate programs. You're right. You're right. I should have more empathy for less fortunate programs. That's fair. I'm trying to hold everybody.
They may only have three starting pitchers.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. I'm trying to hold everybody to a standard that it just isn't fair to hold them to. That's a good point. I need to work on that. I need some personal reflection and work on that. I'll go do that right now.
All right. That does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and remember, and check out buyauburn.com as well. And remember, please, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.